Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Dunning-Kruger shows this curve of many ventures where enthusiasm starts at a good level and then shortly after launch it peaks because it's all about enthusiasm about what's to come. But then the hard work of doing it sinks in and the enthusiasm and energy of the curve starts diving. And it starts diving and diving because it's hard, because the success doesn't come quickly enough. And what happens is you can reach the low point, the nadir. And at that low point at the bottom, several things happen. Some people just quit. That's it, they're done. And they just get off the curve. But there are some people that simply will not be denied. They reflect upon themselves the importance of what they're doing, and they start to give up the idealized picture of what it was going to be like, because it's always better in our imagination, right? And embrace the hard stuff that's got to get done to build the business. And that's where the curve now starts to head upward, but it's a slow, gradual, steady growth. And so I just want you to know you've come off the bottom. You're headed in the right direction. Congratulations.
The story you're about to hear has no ending. That is to say, whatever end will be has not happened yet. This is a story of one guy, myself, trying to fulfill his dream. But in a lot of ways, this is a story about thousands and thousands of people. Entrepreneurs, inventors, and relentless creatives. It's about the people with an idea who had the audacity to walk to the edge of their comfort zone and jump into the unknown to pursue it. Or at least, this is a case study of my attempt to do just that. This story is being captured and crafted in real time, which means however the story ends, you and I will discover it together. I'm Jeremiah, and you're listening to Over the Edge. What do you do when life smacks you in the face with opportunity? And how do you evolve when, in an instant, your business moves faster than you planned. All I know is the lessons I just learned about fear and trusting others. Life was about to challenge them by turning everything up to 11. This episode is one of the few times where, at the time of writing this intro, I know how the whole story goes. And I'm going to be honest, this story shows a less pleasant side of me. There are false starts and dead ends. You begin to see a bit of a frantic side of my mind as I try to work through handling a whole new tier of responsibility and challenges. In so much as I'd love to paint myself as the genius businessman pulling the right strings, in a lot of ways, I'm learning as I go. And I want to present this side of myself so that you might see that the requirement to jump over the edge, it's not qualifications, it's courage. So let's talk about it. Friday, January 31st, I had a first meeting with a new client. This client was a friend of a friend and the founder and owner of his company. And we actually spoke on the phone several years ago about the opportunity to do some video work for him. But we lost touch before anything took shape. And now, with Sleepy Dog in full swing, I reached back out and we put a meeting on the calendar. At the top of this meeting, he told me he was glad we were finally able to talk, but that I was just a little bit late. He said that his business was growing, so much so that his focus has shifted towards bringing on new employees rather than partnering with more external companies. He went on to tell me that he dealt with frustrations in the past when working with contractors. Communication is spotty and too much time is spent renegotiating numbers based on projects. And he said that now he's really just looking to hire one full-time position to come in and join the team as their on-staff videographer. Hearing his position, it seemed like we were in different places and the odds of a deal weren't very high. So I shelved my expectations and just asked some questions. I told him it sounds like he's thought through everything and I wasn't going to try to change his mind. But out of curiosity, I asked him if he was ever to take on a contract with another video company, what he'd need to be guaranteed for it to be worth it. In telling this story since that day, people have told me that this was a genius sales tactic, and maybe it is, but in the moment, I was just trying to get to the heart of his frustrations. This question opened up the conversation a lot. He told me that the biggest things are communication and commitment to the company's vision. I told him that there are some advantages to working in a contract. Things like saving resources on taxes, less spending on employee benefits. Plus, since I'm a video company, not just a freelancer, I have access to a larger pool of creative resources, and in theory, we could do more than a single employee could ever do. And all of a sudden, before I knew it, we were having a very different conversation. A conversation about negotiating the terms of a 12-month retainer.
Yo, that would be crazy. He was pretty upfront in saying we're really looking to just like hire a video guy, which is fair. And if that's what they're looking for, I'm not the person. But we did continue talking about what it would look like to have a consistent contract. I basically said, hey, the advantage of working with someone like me is I'm actively building a team, which means I'm theoretically set up to operate far more efficiently than one single person, staffed or freelanced. Now, this was compelling enough to him that we are setting a meeting for Monday. This is Friday, so on Monday, a longer meeting to get into more details about what this could look like. And in theory, if I lock in a 12-month contract, that would be wild. I don't want to jump too soon. However, this would be like, okay, we're fine forever. That's where we're at. Cool development today. It may be nothing, but there is a chance that I will have a 12-month long retainer project paying somewhere around $1,000.
Hell yeah. People like you.
I mean,
you do good work.
So yeah, we gotta figure it out still, but it might happen.
Right.
So yeah, that's crazy.
That's very cool.
Just the possibility of this 12-month retainer opened up a whole new world of opportunities, and also a whole new world of questions. I've spent my entire time running Sleepy Dog Creative, and honestly, my entire business life, desperately trying to break even, to build something sustainable. But if this contract gets locked in, then for the first time, money won't be an issue. Suffice to say, I didn't think about much else that weekend. I was anxiously awaiting our Monday meeting. And when Monday came, and I was prepping for a meeting, I figured I should probably give John a call and get his thoughts.
Okay. Thank you for calling me, right?
Yes.
It was a very good decision for you to call me, okay?
Cool. Good.
Okay, so we're going to go through a hard reality check here, first of all, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't got it till you got it.
Exactly. I know that.
Okay. The hardest part of the journey is the last 3 feet, because everybody's kind of open and casual, and we're spitballing things back and forth. But when people get ready to write a big check, all of a sudden things get real. We believe in co-creating the deal.
Mm-hmm.
So what does he think the meeting today is about?
It's basically a deeper dive into what this relationship would look like to flesh out what expectations would be on a month-to-month basis. What we didn't say, hey, by the end of this meeting, we will have a decision on X, Y, and Z. But it right. was like,
and,
hey.
And you won't. And by the way, you won't. You will not. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
but where it was at was he was basically like, shoot, I have another meeting right now, but I actually think this is something that is worth talking about more, and let's set a meeting on Monday.
Got it.
What I did this morning is I wrote out a document just over a page long, bullet pointing some of the things that we would talk about, priorities and expectations for a contract, advantages to doing a contract, what would be included in a year-long retainer process, what our role would be, what their role would be, expenses that are included in it and expenses that aren't, and some future-proofing of how it could develop if need be.
I'm going to spitball here, right? You say, let's take a project. Let's do that project as a test drive for a plan of working with me. I'll do the project. We'll talk about what that's going to cost. And then if that goes well, then we can talk about an ongoing, probably a project-based retainer. But I think let's you and I prove the model first. Now, why did I do it that way, Jeremiah?
You give confidence to that person that you're not just trying to lock in a big project.
Yep. Okay. What else?
Proof of concept.
Yeah. Reduce risk, proof of concept. And so I'm just going to tell you, you got to do what you think is the right one, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to do what you think is the right one. But my gut feel is when you offer that, you know, project as proof of concept for the relationship, what does he think about you as you offer that? What does he think about you when he notices you're doing that?
Are you asking rhetorically or do you want me to answer?
Yeah, I want you to answer.
I think it shows a lack of neediness. I don't need to lock in 12 months right now. It shows a confidence in that. Being said, I know exactly what I can do and then I can do it, and I'm happy to show you. It shows a dependability. I'm also in it for the long haul.
Yeah, it really speaks a lot to confidence, right? It really speaks to a lack of neediness. It talks to confidence. It's really good. I think you do a great job of building the relationship. I think you're going to do great. You were a good natural athlete at this, and you're doing, I'm going to just say it, you're doing better than I thought you would.
Thanks.
I'm just going to say it, right? Get the zen of this whole conversation and then keep following that, and you're going to do fine, okay?
There are moments in this journey that feel like foundational moments. The funny thing is, you don't really see them coming. There was a moment in this conversation that felt like one of these special moments.
And I just want to check you on this. Are you convinced if he makes you a pitch, here's 120 grand a year, you're my guy, you're my full-time employee, are you ready to say no to that?
If he said, hey, we would pay you $150,000, but you have to quit Sleepy Dog Creative, I would say, thank you for the offer, but I will pass.
Okay, good.
As I listen back on it, there was such a deep level of conviction in my statement. I almost don't know where that came from. I do know that it was a refreshing bit of self-assurance to know that even if I was given a life raft or an off-ramp, I wouldn't take it because I'm right where I feel like I'm supposed to be. That's a good feeling.
Good. Thanks for being able to chat again. I want to start out, though, with any questions that you may have thought of over the weekend or concerns, and just hear from you first before I kind of go too deep into everything.
Yeah, I wrote down a couple things. I have just a spot to take.
For the next hour and a half, we talked through all sorts of details. Why they were looking to do video content, what a retainer contract would look like, what is his vision for video at his company, and how do we set up a system that works well for both of us. It all seemed to be going really well. And eventually, we got to the money conversation.
And then ultimately, there's the dollars, right? So what's your thoughts? And have you put thoughts, or do we need more time on that?
A little bit. I think here's what I thought about. I know that you talked about, you gave some numbers in a salaried context. Do you have any idea of what resources you would be able to put towards if we did this in a contract world? Let's say on a 12-month contract.
Yeah, I think what I want to do is I want to write everything in here of how I envision it. Kind of that scalability you mentioned I have to take into account. I need probably a day to think about that. I can start to write in some numbers for what we have budgeted for a full-time person, ensuring that if we were to not go that route and do this route, that we're still getting a great outcome at the money we're spending, right? So that's what I have to really weigh and think about for a moment. I'm excited about this and it looks good. I have to make sure that it's going to meet the expectation that I'm creating in my brain and what the expectation I would have for a full-time person. So that's where I need probably another moment to sit on and think about.
We ended our meeting with the agreement to have one last meeting at the end of the week. And by the end of that meeting, we'd have a plan. That week felt different. The air was lighter. There was a world of possibilities spinning in front of me. Of course, if this happens, I'm going to need some help. Time to call Ryan.
I wanted to give you an update on the potential bigger project. I told you about that, right?
Yes.
I'm feeling really, really solid about it. What we're probably going to do is run a first trial run of 3 videos. And then see how that process goes and then negotiate a 12-month retainer. How busy is your February, particularly like the back half?
I mean, yeah, this month is definitely going to be full on, but I definitely have the capacity for it.
Yeah. What I think it would look like is I get the footage, I float it to you, we talk about creative vision, you either edit or, you know, bring one of your people in to edit.
Yeah.
And then I focus on shooting that other video.
That sounds great.
End of the week, we had our final meeting to decide on the details of our contract. We decided to start with a trial 1 month with the same level of video deliverables that we would do each month in the 12-month contract. This way, if things felt good, we could move into the larger contract knowing what to expect. We also landed on a number for the 12-month contract. And it's a number that, if this goes through, will make this the largest contract I've ever signed, running about 6 times larger than my next largest project, the one that I closed in December. Unfortunately, there's a shadow side to this as well, something that feels suspiciously familiar. You see, I found myself in a fork in the road with 2 options. On one hand, I could hunker down, take few other projects, and focus all my time on delivering projects for this client. I could keep all the money and we'd have a comfortable life. Nothing wrong with that. A comfortable life. But on the other hand, if I want Sleepy Dog Creative to keep growing, I need to continue to bring in more hands. But if I do that, I'm no longer guaranteeing myself a steady paycheck, and I've only just started trusting others to help with these projects. So I'd be simultaneously jeopardizing my paycheck and risking the quality of the projects for the largest client I have. This is the thing that tanked Caffeinated Records. I took on more expense than I could keep up with, and it crushed me. As I looked at these 2 options, I realized it seems like I found myself once again at the edge. We'll be right back.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
It's easy to get stars in your eyes and assume that, well, we're in a growth period, I need to hire a couple of people and let's push for more growth. Do your best to retain as much of the revenue, especially from large clients like this, as you can, unless your schedule is full or unless you cannot do something at a decent quality, don't job it out.
When you build a business, you're building an engine. If you fall into the trap of thinking it's just one project and then another project, that will work for a while, but you will find it exhausting. Ultimately, you will be a guy, a really talented guy, doing what you're doing until you begin to build a team around you that can do that. Now, you're always going to be the creative center of gravity, and yet you're going to have to pull other people in. And that's when it becomes an engine.
I should not edit videos. Not because I can't. If I say I'm going to hold on to this money and I'm going to edit these videos, then it says that ultimately deep down, I still believe that I'm a freelancer, not a company.
The reality is you're just starting your business, and the decisions you make now don't have to be the hills you die on. Like,
that's fair, but I'm going to push back on your pushback. If I don't make a decision to die on those hills, I will never build the hills. Because I'm me. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The idea that I could suck it up and have kind of a shitty life situation for a month, but look at how much extra money I make. My brain lives on that. But the problem is, if I do that, then I'm gonna just constantly position myself where I'm not actually trying to do things that benefit the business. I'm just trying to do things that execute day to day that I already have people I trust to do that.
Yeah.
And so, our trial month begins. Ryan and I had a lot of conversations at the beginning so that we could make sure that we're fully aligned in our strategy and expectations of each other.
I'll be very clear. If I'm like, here's the footage you've given me and where we want to take it, do not line up. Here's what we need to do to either change deliverables or change, like, get more in order to reach it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be like, nah, I'm out. But I'll just be honest. If I'm like, yo, these deliverables, that ain't happening.
Please do, because, I mean, the place that I'm at is I'm apprehensive of giving more than 50% right off the bat through me.
Yeah, of course.
But at the same time, I'm trying to be really sensitive to the fact that there is a lot of work here, and you're probably going to take the brunt of it.
Yeah, and I think I would even, you know, again, it depends on what the deliverables are. But, like, it might even be something like, okay, I'm going to take this at a loss. By the way, if we want to do this again, this is really what it's going to cost.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want to, like, really take it all on, though. Mm-hmm. And then if I get to the end of it and I'm like, hey, either you need to find a new editor who can work that price, or we need to renegotiate. Like, I'll be just transparent and upfront about that. We want to make sure we're really on the same page.
We talked for about an hour. There was a lot to work through. Things like specific deliverables. What does our process look like? How can I ensure that the videos match the client's creative vision? And how can we make sure Ryan doesn't end up doing more work than we planned? It was surprisingly kind of complicated.
I'm just sensing this conversation. I want to make sure that you're saying what you want and need, or like have a desire for, and that we can like work from that. Because I am feeling the sense of like, there's things you want, but you're trying to figure out how to navigate it. And I don't feel like you're hiding or anything. If I'm just like speaking super frank, like where are you in all this?
You know, what's funny. I think what we might be doing, if I'm hearing you right, is preemptively trying to advocate for the other.
Like at the end of the day, you have to look out for your company and where my company and where I'm taking it. At the same time, we love each other and respect each other and want each other to succeed. And we both know that it goes south so fast when we do a little compromise here, but that's the foundation that it's built on. We're doing this for a month. We're not signing in on the year contract yet.
Okay, we got a plan. I received a collection of videos already shot by the client, passed them to Ryan, and he got right to work. But as he did so, I began to ask myself some questions. Some in-the-jungle type questions. You see, as Ryan and I were working through some of the details of these projects, I had this sneaking suspicion that each of these videos are going to take a lot of intentional input from myself. Like day-to-day feedback and check-ins and creative process. And I couldn't tell if that was a controlling micromanagement issue on my end, or if that was a legitimate concern that could cost me a year's worth of projects. So, for a little while, I just held it in tension. But I also started wondering if there was another solution that could serve Sleepy Dog and this client even better. Something like hiring someone full-time to help keep these projects internal. If I did that, they'd need to be pretty versatile. Someone that I could trust to edit videos, but could also step into some of the audio-focused projects that I have. And so, while Ryan was working on videos for my client, I started a new conversation with an old friend.
If there was a capacity for us to work together again, is that something that you'd be interested in? And like, to what capacity would you be interested in that?
I don't know. I mean, things would have to be real booming for me to take a staff position again. Like, it'd have to be different, I guess.
If you don't recognize that voice, maybe this will help. Devil of the frog, devil of the frog, devil of the order. Devil of the frog, devil of the frog, devil of the order. That's right. That's Lucas, the guy I hired when I ran Caffeinated Records, the guy who jumped headfirst into my volatile business and who got burned because of it. And now, in true poetic fashion, I'm about to have the same conversation with him that I had 3 years before.
Whatever it looks like, if there was a world where that happened, I would want to make sure there was some that things looked better than than the last time we talked. Yeah.
Also, are you like reaching your capacity as just like Jeremiah? Are you like getting more work?
I am currently well past my capacity.
Oh, good. Good for you, man.
And yeah, it's crazy. I'm in this kind of position where I think in the best case scenario to get a lot of this done is actually to work with somebody who I know is a brilliant creative and also is versatile and also has the kind of mind that prefers some variety.
Yeah, I'm definitely like super interested.
Let me clarify. I'm not offering you a job.
Cool.
Yet. I don't want to do anything premature, but I also, as I'm looking at what's the best option, I also need to know what my options are. Like if my brain is like, right. I wonder if there's a world in which I could hire Lucas. I also need to know whether or not Lucas is interested in being offered a job. Do you know what I mean?
Right, right. It truly depends on like the job security itself and obviously the finance side of it too. This definitely does excite me for sure.
Lucas and I left that call with a definite maybe. If hiring Lucas is on the table, this could be a game changer for Sleepy Dog. But at the same time, I would be super nervous about bringing him on and letting him down the same way that it happened before. But then again, this situation is already so different than Caffeinated ever was. But at the same time still, I have already put Ryan in a position to feel like these projects are going to float his way. Regardless of what I choose, I know I need to bring Ryan into the conversation. To be honest, I don't remember how this conversation went, and I never recorded it, but it was tense. I was processing the idea of hiring Lucas and how he could be helpful to Sleepy Dog. Ryan didn't disagree with the value Lucas could bring, but he also didn't see the wisdom in taking on the expense of hiring someone indefinitely for a project that's ultimately temporary, which is fair. From his viewpoint, we had a good system, and now, all of a sudden, I'm trying to find ways to give projects to other people. And to be honest, I didn't have a great response. Maybe we just view our businesses differently. Maybe I'm getting overexcited about the idea of having a team. Maybe I'm nervous that I'm getting in over my head with this 12-month project and I don't want him to be dragged down too. Or for him to judge me for taking on as much work as I did. Maybe, subconsciously, I don't trust Ryan to do what I need for this project. I couldn't tell you. And honestly, I couldn't tell him. We left that conversation not bad, but not great. It felt like neither one of us was saying what we meant to say to the other. At least, that's how I felt. This is what I meant at the start of this episode. It's messy. All of a sudden, I'm spending a majority of my time trying to decide how I'm supposed to direct the company. I'm trying to make decisions that are informed by my past mistakes, but not driven by them. I'm trying to make the right decisions while trying to fix the times when I made the wrong ones. I'm trying to keep all of that volatility to myself so I don't break my word with the people around me. And while all this is happening, I still have work to do. There are people that paid me to create things for them, and that doesn't change because I don't know how to build my company. There's no boss or manager who I can contend with for some work-life balance. It's just me. I'm the guy.
I'm thinking about doing something maybe stupid, and I wanted to process it with you.
Well, the fact that you think it's stupid is a good indication it might be, but go ahead.
It's probably not, but I told myself I wouldn't do it this soon. I'm looking to take on an employee.
Okay.
I'm in kind of the best position I could be in order to hire somebody. Like, you're never going to fully be like, oh man, there's no reason this wouldn't work. But the idea of having pretty darn well guaranteed income at a certain threshold over and above what I would pay him for the next 12 months is kind of as good an opportunity as you could get. The nature of the retainer that I have with this, or potentially have, you know, with this big client has been based around this idea of time and capacity. Like, because he was looking at hiring a guy full time, I convinced him to hire me instead as a contractor.
You gotta deliver, right?
I gotta deliver, but on top of it, I just know that there's gonna be some flex here and there. And the conversations with him aren't gonna be money conversations. Hey, this is too much. Hey, this is not enough. It's going to be around time and capacity and I'll have a much better gauge on that if it's in-house where Lucas is working on these videos and he put all of his time this week into editing this video and it took longer and I can reach out to the client and say, hey, this took longer than we were expecting. We need to take some things off the retainer because that's how the whole conversation has been framed. And it's harder for me to work that out with outsourcing the edit because I don't have as firm a grasp on that side of the process.
Hiring friends is a problematic deal because the day you hire him, you need to visualize the conversation when you fire him. Look, you're doing everything right. I'm not going to tell you to do it or not do it, but I want you to know what you're taking on is he's not just a disposable thing.
Right.
You're now taking on him and you've got to feed his mouth.
It seems like none of these moments are easy. It's kind of like the whole title of this show is inaccurate because, like, there's an assumption that once you cross the edge of your comfort zone, then you're in a whole new territory. But it just feels like time and time again, I'm like there again, and I have to figure out what I need to do now again to jump over the edge. And then what I need to do again to jump over the edge. And I didn't even script this part. I'm just talking. But yeah, I think that this business is a continued lesson in doing the hard thing.
I wanted to touch on that a little bit and just check in to see how you're feeling or doing about that.
Yeah.
It's just very intentional and raw.
Yeah. I had mixed feelings after because part of me was like, I should have recorded that. But then part of me is like, you know, I don't have to record my whole life. That maybe I could just be a person.
Yeah. I'd love to just kind of hear what you're feeling because I've been thinking and mulling it over a little bit as well.
I think I just have a continued sneaking suspicion that I'm going to feel the need to be a somewhat nagging presence on the project.
Mm.
Like, I feel like I have this, like, if we could talk about it, it makes sense, but I just have this feeling that every day I'm going to be like, how's it going? How are these going? How are these going?
Yeah.
Which isn't fair to you. Do you know what I mean? I'm seeing an opportunity in the timing of things with Lucas and with the business, but also the only way that that works is if I have this project to give him anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I was thinking about it too. And I was like, okay, so let me try and empathize with Jeremiah. Because you know what you need. You know, like, the importance of landing this contract. And if you know this client, like, you're great with that stuff. So if you're like, this is what we need to do, I trust that. I was like, understanding more where you're coming from. And I didn't want it to feel like I thought how you were handling things was like a judgment on your character or like you as a business like owner.
Mm-hmm. You know, we got coffee. We talked about this whole idea of I bring in work and then I hand it off to you and we have this kind of like arrangement. And then I was like, it could really easily look like I suddenly am actually making progress and now I'm just dropping him. And
no, and I get where you're coming from. And I think that's what I was trying to say is just like, if you want to hand this off, like that's fine. When I send someone walking on eggshells, I get almost angry. There's this level, and this has nothing to do with you, but I think in the past, I've watched people walk around eggshells as a way to manipulate. Just tell me exactly what you're thinking and feeling, and then we'll take it from there.
I'm still going to need your help at least for the next, you know, month or two on this project. And there's other stuff coming through the pipeline. Like I just had gotten the number conversation going on another project this morning. And
insane.
So yeah, we're making moves. I gave Lucas a call and offered him a full-time job. We had a good conversation and he was definitely intrigued, but he needed a little time to process everything, which I obliged. This moment felt like the birth of something important, the beginning of a permanent change for my company, a decision that, honestly, I'd been talking about for a while. I don't actually think any of the things that I do are so niche that I couldn't teach anyone else how to do it. But I actually think I need to be willing to identify the fact that I'm not so special that I cannot be replaced and actually make all of my goals about creating something that could replace me. I had no way of knowing how this choice would pan out in the long run. All I can do is my due diligence, look sober-mindedly at my business, and then make the call. And let's not forget, it's absolutely wild that I get to be where I am right now. I couldn't tell you where this road will lead, if it winds or how it ends. But this is alive as we will ever be, 'cause we will never be this young again. So here's to living while we're alive. Don't slow down, don't close your eyes, just raise your glass and breathe it in, 'cause we will never be this young again.
You can't really go where you want to go by playing it safe. So you're going to have to put yourself out on the edge there. See, there we go, the edge again, right? You need to put yourself out on the edge there because it's really the only way you're going to get where you want to go. What you're going to learn along the way is when you put yourself out on the edge and you test yourself, it'll be stressful, it'll be hard, and then you will learn, hey, I can do this. So I want you to be a little bit brash, a little bit cocky. I want you to be a little bit uncomfortable, and you'll be fine.
Over the Edge is a production of Sleepy Dog Creative. It was written, hosted, and edited by Jeremiah Shoemaker. Our theme song is OK by Quinn from Space. This episode's featured song is We Will Never Be This Young Again by Ben Rector. Music composition by Jeremiah Shoemaker and Lucas Hibden. Graphic design by Cahootly Alvarado. Special thanks to Annie Bell, Matthew Shoemaker, Ryan Mion, John Maxwell, and Lucas Hibden. If you enjoyed this show, send it to someone you know who needs to hear it. And if you want to reach out, you can email sleepydogcreative@gmail.com. And we'll see you next time for the next chapter of Over the Edge.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.